from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex Kozora of SteelersDepot.com had an interesting account of yesterday's practice, said it was fun to watch, with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields each completing a 55-yard pass or so, Wilson to Calvin Austin, Fields to Van Jefferson. Fields goes 9 of 13 for 123 and 2 TDs, Wilson 8 of 13 for 118. And did you see who Bart Scott compared Justin Fields to, Limits?
I did not.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, come on. That hurts.
That hurts just to hear. I don't know. I thought that the door may have been cracked a little bit, but as long as Russell's healthy here, he's going to be the guy. And I think he's going to be good. It's almost like it's the forgotten story of training camp. Russell Wilson's here. And he's going to start game one, and I do think that he's going to have a good season. I was first on the Russell Wilson bandwagon. I'm the driver. I wrote about it and talked about it way back when Peter King was telling us there was a chance this could happen and that the Steelers should be interested and all of that, when people were saying, that's crazy. What are you talking about? Russell Wilson on the Steelers. Well, Russell Wilson's on the Steelers. So this is what Scott said about Justin Fields, and I quote, "This guy continuously burps the baby. I hate for my friend," whatever that means. He continuously burps the baby?
But yeah, not a good connotation.
"I hate for my friend Tim Tebow to take strays," Bart Scott said, "but that reminds me of Tim Tebow in practice. You can't do that." I don't know if they had a couple plays from practice or what. When a play breaks down, you burp the baby like that. You put the offensive tackles in a bind. Guys give up sacks and they're losing their career basically because you're burping the baby back there. What the hell does that mean? He's burping the baby. He's taking his time? Too much time? Or what?
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
I have no clue.
Oh, he's patting the ball while waiting to throw, apparently, is it. That's what that is. Which is actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I've heard that criticism of him before, and that it takes, what, like an extra quarter of a second?
And he fumbles all the time, too, by the way.
That is a problem.
So there's that. Anyway, let's get to Shelty and what he had to say to a couple of these questions. It began sort of unhappily and ended even unhappier. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's hear the final two questions. Is that what you have here? Because I thought it was very fair. It has to be fair. And people also were texting in left and right, you know, ask him about his job security and in whatever form they wanted me to ask. I thought this was the best way to ask it. Let's see what we thought of the answers. Shelty, this question I ask respectfully. We've talked about this before, but things are going so poorly now that people wonder, and I wonder, if you feel like you're managing for your job the rest of this season.
No, in terms of managing for my job, no, I don't feel that, you know, any more so today than I did earlier in the year. I think anybody that's in this position always feels that. So, no, I'm focused on winning games and making sure that we continue to play good baseball.
Did you get any sort of ultimatum before the year from Bob Dunning that this had to be a winning season?
Yeah, you know I'm not going to answer that question. You know we don't talk about what we talk about in-house.
Okay. Well, Shelty, good luck tonight. There was a little more of a pause, as I recall.
There was a big pause.
That you may have taken out.
Took it out a little bit, yeah.
My wheels were turning to follow it up, but that was just simply his answer. You know, I'm not going to answer that about questions in-house. It was interesting to me that he didn't say, no, I was not given an ultimatum.
Yeah, I found that a little bit fascinating, because if that was indeed the answer, like, no, you know, don't worry about that, wouldn't you think that he would want to make that known publicly? But there seems to be some type of internal conversation that we've had in terms of, and I guess it would back up what Bob Dunning said at the Sheets meeting and presentation, where he wants to see significant improvement. He wants to see, he believed that the team could make the playoffs, and now they're falling flat on their face, and that is not likely a realistic possibility at this point. I wonder what's truly going through his mind.
It has to be at this point, because I seriously doubt, although I don't know, if Charrington and or Nutting have told him you're safe no matter what. I can't believe that would be the case. And the season is imploding even as we speak. I mean, what if they finish 15 games under?
Then something has to be done. And if it's not, then you're referring to the definition of insanity. I mean, Derek Shelton has one of the worst records of all time as a manager of a baseball team.
He does. You know, I completely discount the first 3 years. I do. I think that's only fair. They were literally in a rebuild, maybe even tanking at that point in terms of the roster composition, trying to get better draft position. So the clock for me on Shelton began at the beginning of last year and has extended to now, and he's still, what are they, how many games under now? Four, five?
Six, I think.
Six games under they are now? Well, that would put them 16 games under since the clock started.
They're
ticking.
56 and 62. They're six under.
Yeah, so he's 16 games under since what I think you could start fairly judging him, and that's not good either. You know, they touted their big advance last year, which I always feel like, hey, if you're coming from a rebuilding situation, don't tell me how many wins you improved by in the first year you tried to win. That doesn't count.
You can't just completely discredit the 3 years, though, that they were really bad. Like, they did, they happened. They still exist. You can't wipe them away completely.
They don't exist for me as far as judging him on his record, because they were built to lose. He was a sacrificial lamb those years. But believe me, 16 games under. Tell me his record since the beginning of last year. Figure that out, and then a winning percentage. They were 76 and 86, and then whatever they are this year, add up the whole record and then give me a winning percentage, and we can figure out, maybe we'll even do a Paul pause at some point. I know that people look forward to that. We'll figure out what kind of pace that would be for a whole season. I can guarantee you it ain't good. Some of the other things that Shelty talked about as City Limits performs math equations. He talked about the young guys. We may get to that point, but we're not there now. And again, Henry Davis, he just doesn't seem to have, they don't seem to have much interest in seeing Davis back up here. I think maybe it was so disastrous that they just want Davis to finish the year in AAA and sort of be comfortable there for a while. Maybe they feel like they brought him up too fast. I don't know. And then McCutcheon, he said, has not talked yet about next year, either from either side, really, whether McCutcheon wants to be back or whether they want him back. Did say that McCutcheon, who was limping late in the game last night, seemed to come up a little bit lame on his way to first, will be in the lineup tonight. So I guess that's a small piece of good news. And he's been unbelievable lately. He really has been great. Couple home runs the other day, big single last night. Just seems like the diving into home in the one game, the one that went to replay, and then he's on the top step of the dugout waving the rally towel. It just seems like it should be good drama waiting to happen, and it always crumbles. It just crumbles by the end of every game. Snatched away. Dramatic wins that just morph into horrifying defeats every time. Did you figure that out yet, Limits? It shouldn't be taking this long. What are you doing?
Math is hard, Joe.
What's his record?
He is 132 and 148 over the last season and change.
Okay, so that's 132. I don't know what it is. You figure it out. I don't know math. That's the problem. We talked about Broderick Jones earlier in the show. How long is it going to take you to figure this out?
Clearly, I don't know how to put the equation in properly. What an embarrassment this is.
What's his record? Tell me that.
132.
Yes.
And 148 over the last year plus.
All right, play the Paul thing. What is 148 plus 132? It's two...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're certainly silently researching statistics.
So they've played 280 games. Am I right about that,
yes.
City Limits? And he's won 132 of
yes.
them. So there you go. That's your equation. 132 divided by 280 equals a 471 winning percentage times 162. It's 76 again. He's managing since last season at a pace that's 10 games under 500, and that is not going to get it done. Now, the problem is, or one of the questions is, we don't know how long the guy is signed for.
Nope. We don't know. Is it a year? Is it 2 years? Is this it? I don't think this is it.
And I happen to believe that fans have every right to know that. You people out there should have that information. And it's ridiculous that you don't. It really is. How many coaches in all of sports, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, have a term on their contract that is not known? You tell me. How many? College, for that matter, too. How many people in all of sports have a secret contract? We know everything these days.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Except this team has a secret contract for their manager? So we don't even have that bit of information? That is really irritating.
If Derek Shelton manages next year, he will be tied for the third longest tenured manager in Pirates history since the 1971 World Series.
That's unbelievable.
Think about that. Chuck Tanner, 9 years. Jim Leland, 11 years. Lloyd McClendon, 5 years.
And Shelty would be going on year six?
Or he would be tied for fourth. I'm sorry. Clint Hurdle with nine. So Hurdle, Tanner with nine, Leland with 11. Shelton is currently in year four. No.
He's in year five.
He's in year five.
Yeah.
So he would be third with six.
That is truly, truly incredible. Wait, behind Chuck Tanner, Leland, and Hurdle?
And Hurdle.
That's unbelievable.
He's currently managed as many seasons as Lloyd McClendon.
And if you are going to put those first three seasons in, and as you said, they did happen, he is, I believe, the worst record in the modern era of any non-expansion team manager.
That's correct.
Non-expansion team. So it's hard to make a case for him if this thing falls apart. Breaking news, not involving the Steelers, from Adam Schefter. Vikings first-round pick J.J. McCarthy expected to undergo knee surgery that will determine how much time he'll be sidelined. How about this, city limits? What does that mean? Little Sam Darnold for everybody?
Sam Darnold is the starter. He will be the guy in Minnesota, and it was expected to be that way anyway. They're not sure the severity of the injury for J.J. McCarthy and how long he could be out for.
Holy horse milk. Here's another NFL question. This was on ESPN today. Head coach is under the most pressure to win now. Robert Saleh, Nick Sirianni, Mike McCarthy, Matt Eberflus, or Brian Daboll. Who do you think gets fired first? Those guys or somebody else? One of them or someone else?
I'd say Mike McCarthy. I mean, the way that it's trending right now in Dallas, this might end up being a dumpster fire.
How about Sirianni being under this much fire? It's just interesting. It's very interesting the way the two teams in this state do business. Nick Sirianni went 11-6 last year, made the playoffs. 14-3, lost the Super Bowl. 9-8, lost the wild card game. He's been to the playoffs all 3 years, and his cumulative record is like 34-17. That's better than the guy here is doing, but Sirianni is under immense fire this season, while Mike Tomlin just, he's coach for life. That's what he is, coach for life. And I heard him the other day, I think it was with Ryan Clark, talking about how these two new quarterbacks have to be indoctrinated into the Steeler way. What does that mean?
Going 500 for the last five seasons?
I don't understand what the Steeler way means. And why would these quarterbacks, Russell Wilson is a winner from his whole career, except when he went to play for, what's his name in Denver?
Sean McVay.
No, the first guy.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Nathaniel can't hack it.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then Sean Payton.
Yeah, and he actually had a bad team on the verge of making the playoffs last year for a while. But what does that mean? What it implies is that we have a way of doing things here. We're going to indoctrinate them to our ways because we're separate and above.
Yes.
And then I look at Philly that just went to a Super Bowl, has been to the playoffs three straight years. Their head coach is 34-17, and that guy's under fire. It seems to me that they're holding themselves to a much higher standard in Philly than they are here. Andy Reid went to a bunch of NFC championship games. They move on from him. Chip Kelly went 10-6 back-to-back years. That'll get you in the ring of honor around here, city limits. Then he goes 7-9, or was on his way to 7-9, and gets canned. He was 20-12 his first 2 years. Doug Peterson comes in, wins the Super Bowl, goes to the playoffs two times after that at 9-7. And again, 9-7 around here is revered because it continues the non-losing streak. And then he goes 4-11-1. That's it. Gone. Fired. They bring in Sirianni. All he's done really is win. and he might get fired. But sort of the interesting piece of that story is they move on from coach to coach and keep winning. Every coach wins. Every coach wins. One of them went on to great success elsewhere, and everybody survived. Two of them, really. I mean, Doug Peterson had a really good first year in Jacksonville. So that sort of refutes two of the common rationales for backing Tomlin. Sort of the automatic things that people spit out in addition to the non-losing, he's never had a losing season, never had a losing season. That's what everybody says all across planet football. The other one is, well, who else are you going to get? I don't know. Maybe the next Mike Tomlin, maybe the next Andy Reid or Doug Peterson or Nick Sirianni, somebody else who can win at this rate or better. And then the other one is he'd be hired in 5 minutes if he left here. Okay. And who else would be hired in 5 minutes? Like, how many other coaches can you say that about? I think Sean McVay would be. Kyle Shanahan certainly would be. Guy LaFleur absolutely would be. Doug Campbell probably would be. Andy Reid, of course. Jim Harbaugh, he got a job 5 minutes after he left Michigan. Maybe Zach Taylor. Look at his record since he got there. Maybe John Harbaugh. I mean, it's just meaningless junk that people throw out there. It doesn't mean anything. There's 10 other guys who would be hired in 5 minutes. But the bottom line, here's the other thing about Tomlin. Is I find him very, very likable. He's obviously a good coach. And he's here for life. So it almost gets to the point of what's the point of having these conversations anymore? It's a done deal. He's here until he doesn't want to be here anymore. And they got to win this season. Actually, they don't have to win this season because he's here for life. What the hell am I saying? City Limits. Would you like to contribute to this at all?
I would love to contribute. Tomlin, we know, isn't going anywhere because of, one, the extension. How much pressure is he really under? Not much, because he has financial security and the organization has no intention of moving on from him.
He could go 2-15. He's coming back and coming back and coming back.
I think what's more likely, Joe, for Tomlin in the future, in the next 5 years, is a promotion rather than a demotion, being no longer the coach of the Steelers. If anything happens, I think it's very much more likely that they promote him to director of football. They create a title for him, and he becomes more so of an executive in the front office, contributing to Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, and those guys. If anything happens, then him flat out being gone as a coach and coaching somewhere else. I think that's more likely.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.